राम 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 सीता राम 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 सीता राम। सो वी फिनिश्ड द 10th अनुवाकः जप मंत्र फॉर नॉलेज। 10th अनुवाक स्मॉल अनुवाक कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ मंत्र फॉर जप फॉर नॉलेज। जप मंत्र फॉर ज्ञानम। नाउ बिगिन्स द 11th अनुवाक। You need some introduction for this. The whole Vedaha, entire Vedaha is divided into two parts. Even though it consists of three parts, three sections as Jnana, Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha, Jnana Kandaha, three Kandas had to be divided into two parts. Two portions, that is Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha. This Karma Upasana together come under one portion as Karma Kanda, but because Upasanam also is a Manasam Karma, therefore comes under the Karma Kandaha, and Upanishads Jnana Kanda comes under the second portion. Second concluding part of the Veda. Therefore it is called Vedanta Shastram, you all know very well. And this first part of the Veda is also called Dharma Shastram. Karma Kandaha, Karma Upasana Kandas together constitute the first voluminous portion of the Veda, and the concluding small portion of the Veda is called what now? Jnana Kandaha. And Jnana Kandaha is called Moksha Shastram, and the Karma Kanda, the first portion, is called Dharma Shastram. The Dharma Shastram deals with performance of rituals, know-how of the performance of rituals, which is otherwise called a Vedic form of worship. And Dharma Shastram, this first portion of the Veda, also deals with attitudes, varieties, you know, various attitudes, bhavanaha. What does it mean? What attitude should one have towards one's own life? What attitude should we have towards life in general? What attitude should we have towards the Lord? What attitude we should have towards the teachers, towards the Shastra? What attitude we should have an attitude towards our parents, grandparents, the ancestors, fellow human beings, attitude towards any living being, attitude towards every living being, attitude towards even everything in this universe. This is called bhavana. This also is dealt in this Dharma Shastra. And next thing that is dealt here is the values. Therefore, the values part of the Dharma Shastram stands for ethics, and other two aspects of the Dharma Shastram, the worship, the performance of rituals and attitudes, together stand for religious life, religion. So, a person should be ethical and religious. For one to be ethical and religious, what one needs to understand, that is dealt here in the Dharma Shastram of the Veda. And one, that is why it's always said, if a person has Purusharth Nischeha, and if he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then he knows the purpose of living this life and he knows what his ultimate end is, then he becomes a spiritual person. And as a spiritual person, one knows it is important for one to be religious and ethical. One, without being ethical, being religious is possible, but still it will not be fruitful. It will not be totally fruitful. Without being religious, one can be ethical also, but still it will not make one's life complete. But a person who is spiritual will definitely be ethical and religious. And without being ethical and religious, it is impossible for one to accomplish the spiritual knowledge. So without spirituality, religion and ethics will be incomplete. But isn't it? Without ethics and religion, spiritual end is impossible. So Dharma Shastram is for preparation. Moksha Shastram is for the prepared. Is it clear? Whole Veda is very well designed way of life. It's a complete. In fact, I have given in one sentence, I have told you about Dharma Shastra. And this Dharma Shastra. So this voluminous portion of the Veda, consisting of Karma Upasana Kandams, wherein these three main things are discussed: rituals, know-how of rituals, attitudes and values, are widely discussed. And those, for all the mantras, for the Dharma Shastram, the first portion of the Veda, the commentary has been done. Of course, Shayanacharya has done the commentary, and we have Jaiminiya Sutrani. Rishi Jaiminihi. We have sutras by Rishi Jaimini. And those sutras actually called what now? This Dharma Shastra Dharma Mimamsa. Dharma Mimamsa, analytical study of the meaning of the mantras. Analytical study of the mantras, what every word means, what every mantra means, what is to be understood, what exactly it means. This analytical study of the mantras is called Dharma Mimamsa. We can say Mimamsa. So we have Brahma Sutrani. Brahma Sutrani, what now? Vedanta Mimamsa. Whereas Jaiminiya Sutrani constitute what now? this Dharma Shastra, Dharma Mimamsa. Dharma Shastra Mimamsa. Mimamsa itself means analytical study of the mantras, meaning of the mantras. Therefore here, so without the knowledge, or without studying and without the knowledge of the Dharma Shastram, one cannot implement the knowledge, isn't it? Implementation of knowledge is possible only if a person has the knowledge. So mere knowledge without implementation also does not serve any purpose of which Dharma Shastra, okay? Dharma Shastra Jnanam, knowledge of this Dharma Shastram has to be gained and has to be implemented also for the benefit. Whereas Moksha Shastram, there you need not implement. Knowledge itself is Moksha. This is the difference between Vedanta Jnanam, knowledge of the Vedanta Shastram itself is an end which is Moksha. Whereas here in Dharma Shastram, knowledge of the Karma Kanda will be fruitful only if it is implemented, lived, isn't it, in practice. Therefore here we say one has to know, study, know, then live. One has to implement that in day-to-day life. Only then one can become mentally prepared for this Vedanta Shastra Jnanam. That is why the whole, it is very well designed, like a layout program. This is therefore here the Upanishad wants to present the whole Dharma Shastram in a nutshell. It's a briefest presentation of Dharma Shastram, isn't it? We find in the 11th Anuvagaha of Taittiriya Upanishad. And people think it was addressed before the convocation. But Adishankara Bhagavatpada says it is not addressed, the teacher is going to teach him, the student. It is not addressed at the time of convocation, because convocation can happen only when the brahmachari finishes his studies. And it is addressed before he begins his studies. Therefore, even if people say, even if you happen to read some translations also, Adi Shankara says it is not at the time of convocation or anything.
What's convocation?
See, when a student graduates and goes out of school, convocation address we say. You don't have that?
Yes.
We become very emotional, I tell you. It's a nice thing. We don't know. Something for us to tell. See, what happens every year in every college, universities, there is convocation day. And when the students grab all the last day before they leave, and then all the students get together, and then the parents come, and everybody comes, the teachers advise, and then no, you're going, leaving this institution, going out, and how you should live, and all, they'll talk. And all the young girls and boys get very emotional, and then they'll cry, and all kerchiefs and all will get wet. You should see all college students what they do. It's very, very interesting thing to see. And all sing, and all. We all dance and sing, and then we cry, and then do all those things. I had very funny experience when I was only sitting like this in the class. All my friends were crying and then leaving, and then you would see that last day at the college, isn't it? Anyway, so this is said, some people say this is also convocational address. But Adishankara says, no, convocational address is possible only when the students finish their studies and go out. It is before the teaching begins. Therefore, it is not the convocation address. But still you have to understand the whole 11th Anuvakaha, presence, we can't complete it today anyway. We'll keep it for next week also. Presents the entire Dharma Shastram in a nutshell. Okay? So we'll understand here.
वेदमनोच्चाचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति वेदमनोच्चाचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति वेदमनोच्चाचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति
Vedam anuchya. Let me teach you first. Let me finish this. Then we go. Vedam anuchya. Anuchya. Acharyaha. Ante vasinam. Anushasti. Acharyaha. Anushasti. Ante vasinam anushasti. वेदम् अनुच्य आचार्यः अन्ते वासिनम् अनुशास्ति. ओके, लेट मी फिनिश द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस फर्स्ट सेंटेंस. विल से ब्यूटिफुल वन वर्ड.
वेदमनुच्चाचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति वेदमनुच्चाचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति.
I'll repeat, don't worry.
सत्यं वद धर्मं चर स्वाध्यायान् मा प्रमदः स्वाध्यायान् मा प्रमदः आचार्याय प्रियं धनमाहृत्य प्रजातन्तुम् मा व्यवच्छेत्सीः सत्यान्न प्रमदितव्यम् धर्मान्न प्रमदितव्यम् कुशलान्न प्रमदितव्यम् भूत्येन प्रमदितव्यम् स्वाध्याय प्रवचनाभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम्.
We have all beautiful mantras. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. All mantras are coming here. Anyway, so here, this, what is the, there are four ashramas. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa ashramas. Ashramas mean what now? The four stages every human being has to go through in life. And there are four stages in human being's life. So, which is the stage that when he is completely free from other obligatory duties and responsibilities? In sannyasa and in brahmacharya. The most responsible, isn't it? Life is driven as a grihastha. More duties. So the brahmacharya ashramaha, therefore when you do not have more obligated duties and responsibilities, and that stage should be used only for studies. Because it's meant for only education. So the brahmachari, they study, they have to do the study. Brahmacharya ashramaha consists of what? No, actually study of the shastram. Study, education in general. So in India, in Vedic period, they had to study the Vedas. And studying Veda means what now? There's a two stages of the studies. First stage, because no calculator, no iPad, iPod, you know, computer, all those things, no writing notebooks also, no printing press, the whole book has to, textbook has to go to the head first. And after that, carrying the textbook in the mind, and he has to go to the teacher again for what? And understanding the meaning, studying. Studying the subject matter with the help of the text is what now? Second stage. Second stage of education involves study of the subject matter of the textbook with the help of the textbook in the mind, in the memory. And first, before that, he has to study the whole text. How can he have the textbook? Everything has to be memorized. The whole textbook has to be, word after word, the whole textbook has to be memorized first. That is why chanting. Understand now, why chanting? Swaras are there, it's easy to memorize also. It's easy to memorize some songs with the melodies, isn't it? Always melody added, because it is easy to memorize. So swaras also now. Why Veda mantras have swaras? Understood now? Veda mantras, the whole Veda has to be studied. Every word has to be studied correctly. And that is why even to study the shastram, the chanting, by just mechanically, merely the student has to learn the chanting. And chanting, repeating, the whole book goes to the head. And younger the children, the very excellent memory power they have, very quickly goes, everything goes to the mind. And that they say that the job is that. Get up in the morning, do the Sandhya Vandanam, no, the chant Gayatri Mantra, finish your prayers, eat, then go for study. So memorize. Therefore, this memorizing is called Kantasthi Karanam. Memorizing the whole Vedic text through learning the chanting is called Adhyaya. Swadhyaya Adhyayanam. First, Adhyayanam means learning only, study. First, learning to chant, thereby to have the whole text in the memory, is called what now? Adhyayanam. This is the first stage. And later on, and the second stage, he say the same teacher teaches the meaning of every word of all the mantras. I mean, he learns all the mantras, means what now? Especially, the student has to study first the Dharma Shastram. Dharma Shastram. And the Dharma Shastram, the student, and then because it's Vedic chanting, Vedic learning again. The value of the Vedic study. The child cannot understand the value. And this, the parents have to take initiative. Somehow they see, they make these children learn also. By giving them only warmth, love, care, as I told you, soaking them in love, and you know, like all fondling, just making the child do what they want them to do. So they have to do it. Because the child can understand the value of the study of the shastra. And before even the thinking begins, they have to start doing it. Because Vedic the values, not within the, you know, Veda is not scientific. Veda does not contradict science, but is not scientific. Therefore, when they start this study, first study the chanting, not to memorize the whole Veda, and thereafter they have to do what now? Study the Mimamsa, Dharma Shastra Mimamsa. And there the student has to learn, I told you already, three things. The know-how of rituals. That means knowing the how to perform rituals means the child also learns how the importance of worship. The worship is so important. Bring Bhagavan in one's life, Ishvara in one's life. The life should not be there without bringing Ishvara in one's life. Because later on, he has to see his oneness with Ishvara. It is culminate in the vision of he has resolved his individuality in Ishvara. Then he has to say what now? Aham Brahmasmi. For that vision, initially he has to do what now? He has to be with the teaching. He has to have this worship. What that worshipping means, the child has to learn to worship, and Vedic period worship was in the form of performance of rituals, therefore being worshipful. So knowing the performance of rituals means learning to be worshipful, thereby being worshipful. That is how being religious. And also completely as you study the Dharma Shastram, the attitudinal change, the whole attitude towards everything, right from even a tiniest ant, you know, you have a proper attitude towards every living creature here, being here. The attitudes, bhavana, above all, dharma, no, anushtana means the values. So all are emphasized here. Therefore the teacher, now what the mantra says here, Vedam Anuchya. Vedam Anuchya means what now? Having taught the chanting of Veda in order to help the student memorize the entire Veda. Anuchya means having taught the chanting as part of the Veda. Having taught the chanting, not to help the student to memorize the whole Veda, Vedam Anuchya. Who is the student here? Antevasi. Antevasi means resident student, not a day scholar. Okay? Resident student. Because those days, students have to live with the teachers in gurukulams. We are going to see all that. The child, there are three significant people in the child's life. There's three significant contacts. First, mother. That's why the relationship between mother and the child must be very healthy relationship. That is how the child can turn to be the healthiest child, emotionally. And second, who contributes for the emotional well-being of the child? Father. The relation between the child and the father. And the third is with what most significant association? The teacher. Because, you know, all of them contribute for emotional well-being of the child. That is why we see the teacher in the list of mother and father only. We cannot think of teacher any other way. So here mother contributes, father contributes, then what the mother and father cannot contribute. Further, the emotional maturity reaches its height, what now? The culminates in what now? The vision, which is later on taken care of by Shastram, Guru. Three people. Therefore, and here the student is what now? Here, Vedam Anuchya, the student has already gone, he is living in the Gurukulam, and the teacher finished teaching him the chanting, and he is ready for the next stage of the study. What is it now? He has to learn the Dharma Shastram with the meanings, Mimamsa. Therefore, having taught him the chanting part of the Veda, now the teacher, Acharyaha, the teacher, Antevasinam, the resident student, what now? Anushasti. Anushasti means teaches the Mimamsa. Anushasti means what now? He explains the mantras, the meanings to the student. Anushasti means teaches the next part of the study of the Veda in terms of the unfoldment of the meanings of the mantras. I mean, he teaches the meanings of the mantras. Anushasti. And who teaches? Acharyaha. And Acharyaha, I have already given this explanation. Acharyaha. You know, Achinoti Shastrani. One who collects all different types of information. Not other information, okay? All the knowledge from all the textbooks. Achinoti Shastrani. Then, Achare Sthapayatyapi. And one who helps others and he persuades the students to live what is being taught. Achare Sthapayati makes the students live, learn what he teaches. Then Swayam Acharate, and he himself, what knows, becomes a role model, sets an example, lives that what he is teaching. Acharate yaha tam acharyam vidur buddhaha. Tam acharyam viduhu buddhaha. Wise people call him the teacher. Achinoti achare sthapayati acharate. He lives himself what he is teaching. He helps others live what he is teaching, understand, and he also to teach. He doesn't teach as his own discovery. All that he collects, what now? What has been there from time immemorial. It's called Acharyaha. Okay? This teacher, Antevasinam Anushasti. Anushasti means what now? He teaches the Mimamsa Shastram. That means he teaches the meanings of the mantras. And when he teaches the Dharma Shastram, he unfolds the Dharma Shastram. But first what he says, teaches, look at this. Satyam vada, satyam vada. Don't think this much is Dharma Shastram, okay? This only brief presentation, I said already. Satyam vada,
satyam vada.
So vada, may you speak. Satyam, may you speak the truth. You may think it's a simplest value. You know, satyam vada, one value stands for all the values. So may you live a life of values. Because truthfulness in speech is the exalted of the values. Because this value stands for all other values. We say ahimsa is the exalt of the values. But here truthfulness is the values. Satyam, the word satyam has two different meanings. In the Vedantic context, it means satyam jnana anantam brahma. In Dharma Shastra context, it means truthfulness in speech, the value of truthfulness in speech, satyam. Satyam vada. This one word here, satyam vada, indicates what now? May you live an ethical life. So satyam here stands for the ethics in general. Dharmam chara, dharmam chara. So dharmam chara means anything enjoined by the Veda. May you live a life of dharma. The word dharma cannot be translated into English because English language does not have equally expressive word to really mean what dharma is. Dharma is very highly expressive word. Dharmaha, dharmam chara means doing anything enjoined by the Veda. Following anything enjoined by Veda is what now dharmaha. So dharmam chara means may you follow dharma, means what now, may you be worshipful, may you worship, may you respect devatas, offering oblations by performing rituals. May you have proper attitude towards everything here. And may you live a life of values. Again, simpler here. So, dharmam chara stands for, no, being religious is, see, the being religious is very important. Following the cultural values is very, very important. Therefore, he says here now, dharmam chara. So, satyam vada, dharmam chara. Then, the dharma does not mean religion. Okay, yeah. Swadhyayanma pramadaha, swadhyayanma pramadaha. Already emphasized, again repeated. Swadhyayat ma pramadaha. Ma means may you not. Pramadaha, neglect, ignore, keep away. May you not neglect what? Swadhyayaha, study of the scriptures. Now why the teacher is saying, already he is learning. Why he has to say? Because whatever we study, we will forget. Even after you finished studying also, you should be, that is why there is something called homework. Now why? We come to the class, study, but we forget. Okay? We will not remember. We have some problem called forgetfulness. And how much ever we study, we will forget. But subject matter of the Shastram is not something to be forgotten. First you have to be to understand, study for understanding, study for retaining, study for remembering, study for ascertaining, study for assimilation, ascertainment. Then you don't need to study. So until mokshaha, it is a lifelong plan. Okay? Swadhyaya. Until one attains moksha, Shastra study should not be given up. That is why people ask how many years. It's not 3 years course, degree course, or post-graduation course. No, until it gets ascertained and gets assimilated, swadhyaya should be done. Okay? Study of scriptures must be done. Initially, what are you studying for? To understand. I don't know anything to understand. Oh, you have been studying for many years. What are you studying for? You know, to remember. What are you studying for again? Not to retain. What are you studying for? You know, to remove my doubts. What are you studying for? You know, to ascertain. How long? Until I get it, I have to do it. That is why he says, what, never ever give up, because satsangaha. See, we will forget. In order not to be influenced by, not to avoid the wrong influences, external influences, I tell you, one, however goody-goody individual you are, the society, the whole jagat is jagat. Okay, you can't find fault with the jagat. Therefore, if you had what is the big kavacham, protection on you is what now? To see everything correctly, clearly, not to have wrong perception, to have right perception, to have everything, always satsangaha. Isn't it? Satsanga is very, that means study of the Shastram is the satsanga. Not simply singing bhajans. Singing bhajans also is good. But study of the scriptures and understanding what is being said there is the very important thing. Therefore, swadhyaya is a very important thing. And the teacher tells, look at this. Swadhyaya anma pramadaha. Swadhyaya anma pramadaha. Then, once you finish your studies, and imagine the student has already finished study and he is going out. Because he has been a student all these days, he has studied. The teacher tells, after going, not the convocation, okay, imagine if he goes out, and the teacher, when you finish your studies, when you go out also, then what you should do, you should show and exhibit your talents, exhibit your knowledge to somebody who, not the beggars, go to rich philanthropist people, go to rich kings, etc., and show, do the Vedic chanting, and exhibit means what now? They will appreciate your knowledge. Then they will give you, what now? They will give you some gifts. And that gift, bring it back and give it to your teacher. Why? The teacher has kept you in Gurukulam and never asked for a penny for anything. Completely free education. Now you are going, the next batch should be coming to the Gurukulam. And they have to study. The teacher, what will he do? Okay? So you are paying, not teacher is not supposed to, should not expect to demand any money or fee from the students. There is no contract business. You have to pay this much before you go. No. You have to pay at least after 2 years you get the job. You know, no bank loans, no loan business, no debt, okay? You are not expected to pay any penny to the teacher. When you finish studying, when you be there, when you finish studying, you go out, you think, like me, other students have to come and study here, so let me give something. And what do you do? Somehow get some money and give it to the teacher, Gurukulam. So he says now, Acharyaya, whatever you feel like giving, Priyam Dhanam, wholeheartedly, what you feel like giving, you can give. Okay? Oh, I have to give. What to do? No, not thinking that. Dhanamahritya.
Dhanamahritya.
Acharyaya priyam dhanam ahritya. It's all olden days. Okay? These are all, just I want to understand how the olden days, you know, the Vedic society lived. To have an idea of Vedic society, we are discussing now. I'm not asking you to follow here strictly because we are, even India, we are no more within that design. We try at least to do something. Anyway, so Acharyaya Priyam Dhanam Ahritya. So giving some money, whatever is possible on your part, to the teacher. Then what you should do after your studies, first thing, when you go out, get some money and give it to the teacher. For the, what now, continuation of the Gurukulam maintenance. Thereafter, first thing is what now? You should get married. Look at this, Veda teaches. Prajatantum ma vyavachetsihi. Prajatantum ma vyavachetsihi. Prajatantuhu. Tantuhu means thread. But here, thread of the lineage of family, prajatantu, the chain of family, isn't it? The family chain, link. Prajatantum ma vyavachetsihi. May you not break the thread of a family, lineage of family. It is very important to maintain the lineage of family. You are here, you had a grandfather, great-grandfather, there, like that. May you not break this lineage of family, means may this family link be continued. How for that? You should have children. That is how family, the link is what now? Continued. For you to have children, may you should get married. And why you should get married here? Understand here, you should get married means because this is a grihasthashma. Now you have studied all the dharma shastra, you have studied all those things. Now the karma, what you have understood now, the knowledge has to be implemented. Isn't it? In brahmacharya ashrama, you are studying, you have gained knowledge. And that knowledge has to be implemented here. An implementation of knowledge involves what now? Implies performance of rituals, you know, and all everything else for which you need this. You need to do a lot of karma, which means you need a better infrastructure. You need a lot of money also. And then even to perform rituals means what now? You need better infrastructure, means you need to have a house. And a house means there must be woman to cook food also. Isn't it? Everything must be properly done. There, that's Indian, okay? Don't think, why only woman to cook? Why not man cook? You mean, don't ask me questions. Because certain things you cannot do, certain things she cannot do. Okay? That is why Indian men, even today, the blood is there, whether they study Veda or not. They expect the wives to do everything. Even today. It's all Vedic style, really. And then, that's not right, isn't it? They also should do it, anyway. But here, so here, that's why this prajatantum mavyavachetsihi. See, first teaching, given the money to Gurukulam, now get married first. Because with the money, now you should not go anywhere else, you see, problem. Therefore, first somebody should be there to take the account, maintain the accounts. Also, so, prajatantum mavyavachetsihi. May not break the lineage, family lineage. So get married. And have children. And for what? For what? He says, because you have to perform rituals. It has to be. Then you have the runam also. You are indebted to the teacher, indebted to the rishis, you are indebted to the parents, indebted to the ancestors. Therefore, to pay back your debts to all of them, not the money. You have children, and see this, the values are followed by the children, so that you have paid back your debts to your ancestors. Therefore, you have paid your debts back to your teacher also. Only by the main thing is for the contribution. How can you contribute back to your ancestors? How can one contribute back to one's teachers? This parampara. Only by raising, bringing up good children. For which you should have children. To have children, again you have to get married. And ultimately for what? Not for sake of children alone. Remember, mokshaya, jnanaya, antakarana shuddhyartham. Okay, mokshartham, jnanam avashyakam. What is knowledge for? Mokshaya. What are you living this life for? Moksha jnanartham, for discovering moksha which is already there. What are you living this life for? For discovering moksha which is already there. What is knowledge for? For moksha. Isn't it? So what is antakara shuddhi for? For knowledge. Why should you live a life of dharma? For antakara shuddhi. What is dharma for? For antakarana shuddhi. So for dharma, for what is dharma then? This I have to live this life. Be prayerful, be worshipful, and follow values, and have proper attitude. So you live, and you also you hand over that, isn't it? You see that all that you enjoyed and lived, passed on to the next generation, for which again you have to have children. Therefore, get married and have children. Isn't it? That's why vivaha is such an important thing. That is why we try our best not to choose a wrong person. In spite of something happens, they will take it as prasada. So here, prajatantum ma yavachetsihi. Marriage is for mokshaha. Marriage is for jnanam. Children are for mokshaha and jnanam. Okay, the pleasure and other things become incidental. I just started this chapter actually. This Sishya Anushasan, this topic is called 11th Anuvakaha. This heading is called Sishya Anushasanam. Sishya Anushasanam is what now? Teaching of the Dharma Shastras to the students. Okay? Teaching Dharma Shastra. So, Dharma is taught here. Therefore, that is the big topic. I had to say lots of things I had to tell you here. So, let me tell you next class. You can ask questions if you have.
Because earlier you spoke about life, and the question that came up in my mind was, Is life the same as satyam? Or is life the same as consciousness? Or is life an expression? An expression of consciousness.
Which one?
Life.
Of course, life is an expression of consciousness. Life is an expression of consciousness. But in this, in the satyam, the word satyam has different meanings in different contexts. In the context of Vedanta Shastram, the word satyam means existence, the reality. Reality, Brahman. But in the context of Dharma Shastram, Dharma, the satyam means truthfulness, value.
But life itself, I mean, it's always puzzled me, what is life? I mean, in the context of Vedanta.
Yeah, in the context of Vedanta, life means actually consciousness again.
Yeah.
The life of everything, when you say, life is the reality.
Yes.
So, the Vrikshasya Redhiva, we said, that life is the reality in the Vedantic context. In Dharmashastra, consciousness is living this life, isn't it?
So in a way, life is manifest consciousness.
Yeah.
But you don't see life, you just see its expression by consciousness itself.
Yeah. The whole manifestation is manifestation of life. The life itself is manifestation of the truth. Life is manifestation of the truth.
So what then is prana? Prana is simply the energy which manifests life?
Prana also is manifestation of energy. See, anything which is manifestation. Anything which is manifestation. You say prana is manifestation. Manifestation means what? Now, I can tell you one thing. There's a manifestation of two things here. Actually, one thing really becomes manifest. One thing without just being, it becomes manifest. For example, I tell you. See, a matter has to undergo change, a pot has to undergo change to become, the clay has to undergo change to become pot. Isn't it? We said the pot is manifestation of clay. It's manifestation. And there, suppose the whole hall, nothing is here, only pot alone, one pot is in the corner. And you come and see, first I tell you, go and pick up the pot and come here, come out. And you come and see initially, there's no light here. You come see, and then you don't see anything, you come back. You said, there's no pot. Again I tell you, please go and pick up the pot, definitely there's a pot. And you turn the light on, you pick up the pot and come bring it out. But here, suppose the pot is, just the light alone is there, there's no pot. Then you come here, you come back and say, nothing is there. But I can tell you what, you cannot say nothing is there. Pot is not there should be the right answer. You shouldn't say nothing is there. Isn't it? So the presence of many colors. Now, I ask, what is that one thing because of which you're able to see all the colors, or the pot? All these colors really become manifesting medium for the light. The colors, the forms, the opaque things which are dependent on the light to come to light become manifesting medium for this light. Even the light is self-effulgent. Isn't it? Therefore, here also the maya, the matter, becomes the jagat. But this man, the maya, the material universe becomes manifesting medium for consciousness. Even though maya is dependent on consciousness for its existence, consciousness is independent of maya for its existence. But for manifestation, consciousness needs what? Maya. It's clear now. Therefore, we say the whole jagat is what now manifestation of life means. the conscious manifestation of consciousness is manifestation of the jagat. Without consciousness, there cannot be matter at all. And where is the question of being manifest? Manifest universe. If the universe is not there, suppose the mind is not there, you don't know you are. Isn't it? Don't know you are. You are not knowing you are. Suppose in deep sleep state, when the mind is resolved, what happens to you? You do not know you are. But does not mean you are not there. You are not knowing you are in deep sleep state. To know you, then once you know you are, there is manifestation. When you do not know you are, you are just yourself. I'm not saying unmanifest. You should never use the word unmanifest. Consciousness is ever manifest. Okay? Consciousness, either pure consciousness or manifest consciousness. When there is a manifesting medium, there is a manifest consciousness. The manifesting medium is not there, there is only pure consciousness. If it is a pot is here, the light is called reflected light. Okay, here is the mic here. It is light. The mic is not here, what is in front of me is pure light. If the mic is there, and the light, the mic opaque in your nature, it shines in the presence of the light, then this mic becomes what now? Because of the light, it shines, it reflects light. So the same light, in the presence of the opaque, is called reflected light. The light, the pure light, in the presence of opaque, it's called reflected light from the standpoint of the reflecting medium. If I remove this mic this side, there is no such thing called reflected light. Swamiji made it so clear for me. All people confuse. Is a special light sitting some reflected light? What is there is only one pure light. The pure light gets the name reflected light in the presence of opaque. It is not there, pure light. If it is there, how many uses? Just he uses his hand, okay? Now in the presence of my hand, what you see is hand and the light. That light is what? Reflected light. Hand is taken away, what you see is light. Pure light. Isn't it? Is there impure light? No. Manifest light, pure light. Reflected light, pure light. Similarly, in the presence, the Maya is resolved, pure consciousness. Maya is manifest life.
And the consciousness appears to be limited because of the reflecting medium.
Yeah.
It will be as limited as the reflecting medium.
Really, there's no really, not really no, limited. So seeming, limited. Yeah.
So where does the sentience and insentience comes in? You know, matter.
That is different.
Know, the matter can be given sentience only through consciousness. Consciousness is the one that gives sentience to matter. So, but matter and consciousness are always there. Irrespective, so like that, the objects
that is,
are there.
That is what I taught you in Drik Drishya Viveka textbook. Okay, here after homework. Very good. Next week I'm going to give homework. You know, Drik Drishya Viveka textbook, I'm going to give that, plus repeat those verse and the mantra and the meanings, etc. How this matter, subtle manifestation of the matter alone has the reflecting capacity, okay? The gross matter does not reflect consciousness. Consciousness is there in the gross and the subtle everywhere. Is it? But subtle matter, which occupies the gross, because it tells us manifestation, consciousness is manifest, therefore it becomes conscious, and because of the association of the gross matter with the subtle matter, which is conscious matter,
yeah.
Matter is not See, subtle matter with the association of the consciousness and being manifesting medium for consciousness, it becomes conscious matter. And because the association of the conscious matter, the gross matter also becomes conscious. This is the main part. I think Drik Drishya Viveka textbook, okay, homework. Hereafter, I'm going to give homework. And Paramatanda used to tell, he used to really make people present paper every class.
So sentiency for the gross matter will not be there without the combination with subtle matter.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what? Now that's what death itself is what now?
That is Sukshma and Karna.
Okay. See what happens now? It's very we had to leave. Okay. We had to go leave the place now soon. Okay. So what I'm saying here, see hereafter what it is very important for all of you. We have come to the Aitriya Upanishad. You can't afford to have forgotten all those things. Therefore, and take the Drik Drishya Viveka thing, textbook again, and then start reading from the beginning. Okay? If you don't have notes, and Rajanji has recorded and put up on the website, and go back to the lessons, again start, please repeat, I'm going to redo that for you, redo means we'll spend at least 5-10 minutes for that. Is it clear now? So see, the whole life is expression of consciousness. In fact, life is consciousness. There's no life other than consciousness. But this whole thing that is here is expression of consciousness, is life. Okay? Unexpressed consciousness is what now? Resolved life. It's not death. Resolved life is unexpressed consciousness. Expression of consciousness is life.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamidam.